Support for the Star Wars Stuff podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Yeah, that rhymes. All right. Manscaped recently launched the Ultimate Men's Hygiene Bundle, the Performance Package. Join over 5 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code STUFFPOD at manscaped.com. All right, guys. Sometimes you got to do some maintenance. You got to do some trimming, and either you hurt yourself or you don't do a good job, and it's not a good feeling, all right? But Manscaped is here to help you, okay? The Performance Package 4.0 by Manscaped has arrived, and oh man, is it a game changer. Inside this package, you'll find the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, Crop Preserver ball deodorant, Crop Reviver toner, Performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold your goodies. And the travel bag is in there. I almost threw mine away. I picked up the box and I was like, it's a little bit heavier with nothing in there. And I looked and there's a really, really great bag in there to hold all your stuff. Okay, first off, the Lawnmower 4.0. This trimmer is the future of grooming and, dare I say, the greatest ball trimmer ever. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and just say that. I'm blown away by the performance and the craftsmanship of this trimmer. The fourth generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology. That is very important. The Lawnmower 4.0 is waterproof and also has a 4000K LED spotlight you need for more precise shave. All right, because this trimmer is waterproof, you can say goodbye to the mess of the bathroom floor. Big plus. All right, the Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Weed Whacker nose and ear hair trimmer. That is kind of weird to say, but yes, it does include that, and that is really what I use it for, because I do have a lot of hair, so trimming my nose hairs and my ear is something I have to do every day, and I'm using this every day for that, and it's awesome. The Weed Whacker is also waterproof and provides proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps reduce nicks, snags, tugs, and those delicate nose holes. So yeah, like I said, I use it every day, and I'm not even worried about that it's going to hurt me or anything. The Crop Preserver below the waist deodorant and Crop Reviver below the waist toner will change the way you approach your daily hygiene routine. Manscaped even threw in two free gifts to the Performance Package 4.0, like I said, the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag. Bring your comfort and boxers to another level. It's time to take care of yourself, so go to manscaped.com and get 20% off and free shipping with the code STUFFPOD. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code STUFFPOD at manscaped.com. All right, that's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code STUFFPOD. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. All right, back to the Star Wars Stuff podcast.
My name is Ray Park. You may know me as playing Darth on the Phantom Menace, Clone Wars, and also Solo at Star Wars Story. You're listening to Star Wars Stuff podcast, the force is strong with you all. And remember, Sith.
Hey, this is Dominic Pace, who plays Gecko the Bounty Hunter from The Mandalorian, letting you all know you are listening to the Star Wars Stuff podcast. Wishing everybody all the best, and may the Force be with you.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Star Wars Stuff podcast, where we talk all things Star Wars. My name is Colin.
And I'm Josh.
And we have episode 5 of Andor to break down, and we're also going to talk about the hype of Tales of the Jedi that's coming out this month. Also, I'm very excited for it. But let's kind of start with our first thoughts about episode 5 for Andor. I know a lot of people were thinking that we were going to get that dinner party that they kind of hinted at, where we would dive deeper into the politics with, you know, no other than Sly Moore. And we didn't get that. And then we also thought the heist would actually begin. Didn't really start at all, really. Like, they left the camp. Like, that really was it. Spoiler alert for this episode. But yeah, no, it's just like, I love the show. I love what they're trying to do. It's just, I just find it interesting. Like, it's a very slow start. And there is a lot of character development just so we could get into a Rogue One situation, because Josh and I were just talking about this. Like, most likely the crew's not gonna make it, and it's just gonna be like a Rogue One situation, and they're trying to do that in a TV show, and I think the person that wrote it is diving into that kind of vibe again, like he did in Rogue One.
It's definitely becoming a character drama. It's funny of how many episodes do we know that this is currently?
12.
12 episodes. So it's
of the first season, and then 12 episodes will be the
first
next season.
Is already
that,
like,
will be it.
It's like double the amount of Kenobi's. So yep. I think it's an absolute shock of how fast that show went, and they're just hitting so many beats and Kenobi, whereas you hit this and it's now super slow. It's building up on so many different things. It's trying to build up these new characters. It's pushing so much drama and character development to the point where it definitely has to deliver on that next episode. And yeah. I feel like if we don't get something absolutely amazing, I feel like a lot of people are going to get disappointed. Because I mean, I'm hearing a lot of people are like, hey man, I want to see something happen. Like, I mean, we've been waiting and we didn't get the dinner party. And I feel like that's why a lot of people were let down. It's like, hey man, I'm trying to get more out of the Star Wars show and I'm not getting it just yet. So, I mean, I think the delivery is going to be great. We're building up these characters and I do believe that we're going to see some deaths coming up soon.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's building up is just like, sometimes I feel like I'm watching a show on HBO Max. Like I'm sitting there, I'm like, all right, wow. Like we're diving deep there. Yeah. And we're diving deep into like these dark, you know, topics and situations because we find out that
me personally, I'm loving the slow burn. Like I'm loving this out of the show, but I completely understand in today's 2022 world where everything is so fast paced that this doesn't fit the typical mold for Disney. Neither does it fit it for Star Wars. And I can understand why people are having running out of patience, but I believe it's going to be worth it in the end.
Oh yeah. Like, I mean, I think it's going to be worth it. It's just, you're definitely right. It's not something that we're used to. We are used to a story that's down to the point, like in one episode, and then that just continues just like in Mandalorian, in Book of Boba Fett, and then in Kenobi. All those stories were written by people involved in on the Mandalorian team, and now you jump into Andor, which is, you know, Star Wars, but it's written by people that were involved on those teams. Like this guy, you know, helped write Rogue One, and the reason why that movie was so great, yes, it was Star Wars, but also it was something that that was dealing with not like super main characters. It was dealing with characters that we could relate to, but we didn't know that they would die. Mm-hmm. But now we have, you know, this show Andor that is dealing with a main character where we know his fate, and we know that most of the people around him probably aren't going to make it because they're not in any future Star Wars projects. And if they are, you know, their story isn't that, you know, huge. It's not that, you know, important to the main plot. I find everything that we've gotten so far interesting, but I think you're, you know, of what you said was true. I think it does need to pick up the pace a little bit, because if we experience the next episode and the heist has not begun and they're just up on the hill, like, just talking around the fire, and then at the end of the episode they're getting ready and going down, I'm gonna be like, is this an episode of Dragon Ball Z? Like, is,
I mean,
like, tune in next time.
Here's another problem with this is the high and the low valleys of the three, like, as I would say, it's like, here's the pilot episode, the middle where there's tension, and then the payoff, and it's a three act three episodes parts. So I would say what's probably happening is they went through the high valleys of the first episode. We got the first episode, second episode, and third episode, and that really got us into the world. So now we got this, then we got episode four, which is the beginning, then we got the middle, which is this last episode. But it's because that they're not another, it's not releasing another three episodes, we haven't gotten that point yet, and it's like, all right, come on, we want to pick up that pace. It's kind of like, we never got that. We're not getting the payoff just yet. And I think it's harder when you don't have all these episodes releasing at once, where it would be on like a Netflix series where everything just comes out at once, where we can't just continue it. And I'm okay with that, because we had that in The Mandalorian and we had so much speculation, but I feel like speculation can be dangerous, especially in Star Wars, because it builds up so much hype. And I feel like Star Wars is one of the main series, as well as Marvel, where the speculation can actually hurt what the product is in the end. So it'll be interesting to see where this goes. I'm excited, and I do truly think that the next episode is going to pay off this heist.
Okay. What were your favorite parts of this episode?
The character development and seeing where these characters came from and their motivations, I think was, and definitely seeing how, what the reason is to see these baby steps of the rebellion. Cause it's not Saul Guerrera's style of rebel group, which is very interesting to me. Cause we know that's like guerrilla tactics. That's all serious.
And I think when we see him pop up, like, because from the trailer we see him, mm-hmm. and when Saw does pop up, you know, action will be happening. Like,
oh yeah. Yeah. As Rogue One, we know that this is like a terrorist. They're like a terrorist group, yeah. which I think they're going to lean into in this is be like, because he's not as damaged as he is later in the future for Rogue One. But I think that they're going to show like, yeah, he means serious business with his rebel fights. He's only guerrilla tactic style.
And something that I could see them doing as well is that the mission with the heist might not go well, and then mm-hmm. Luthen will be like, all right, I'm desperate. I have to go all in. And then he goes and finds Saw and is like, hey, you know, I've got this other thing. I need you. Can you help me out? And then like Saw comes in, and then Mon Mothma is not the biggest fan of Saw Gerrera. And we see that mm-hmm. in Rogue One, and we see that in Rebels. And I think maybe when Saw pops up and everything, I think that will be the origin story of why she's not his biggest fan.
Okay.
Because, yeah, and I could see him like just because he's already kind of crazy after his sister's death. And mm-hmm. then, like, you know, see him kind of turn towards, I don't care, you know, like how I get my results as long as I get them. He's mm-hmm. that type of guy. And I think we'll see that transition more.
The ends justify the means is what he believes in.
Yeah.
And she's much more of building hope towards the future, where I would feel like it's the difference between hope and revenge. I don't think we'll ever see he never has that epiphany where he's like, maybe the revenge was never worth it in the end, besides when he's telling them like save the dream and like save the hope in Rogue One. That I think they'll build up to that.
Save the rebellion. Save the dream.
Yeah. I think they'll build up to that and add more to his character. Cause I mean, he pops up in so many different things.
Games, shows, like, you know,
shows, books. Yeah. He's been popping up everywhere.
He was also the first character from the Clone Wars. Like that wasn't like a main character to become live action. And I was so excited when they were like, he's going to be in Rogue One. And the fact mm-hmm. that they got Forrest Whitaker to play him, I was like, hell yeah. Let's go. Like, that was a great acting choice. And then to see him after Rogue One to, you know, to show up in Rebels, which had a huge plot point in Rebels mm-hmm. on Geonosis, talking about the Death Star, even though they didn't know they were talking about the, Death Star. And then he showed up in Jedi Fallen Order. And then he showed up again in Bad Batch. And I'm like, this character is popping up everywhere. And it's because of he is part of the birth of the rebellion. Like he plays a big part of it. And I think they're adding it to it because they're trying to show you that not everyone in the rebellion is, you know, very light. As we watch A New Hope, it's like, oh, these are the good guys. But then you find out later you've got people like Cassian on there who will also just do anything to get the mission done. Mm-hmm. And it's same with Saw Gerrera. So he's a very interesting character. He's a very high stakes character. So I'm really excited to see him in the show.
Oh yeah, for sure. Don't know if it'll be next episode, but
probably not.
It was interesting. Seeing Skarsgård's character during this episode feel so hopeless.
I love his character. I really like him. He's
He just has to like, I like how he's basically just having to put his faith in his team because he's just sitting there on his comm radio, just hoping for some messages that like, hey, look, like we're doing good. We're gonna pull this off. But it's very interesting seeing everyone be so vulnerable, especially Mon Mothma in this episode.
Yeah.
Can't even control her own family, but yet she'll get to
know. I was going to talk about that because I was blown away that they were kind of diving into that where it was like she's like, you know, maybe on the verge of her marriage being done. Like, will we see them like split up like in Star Wars and like see divorce? Because it's like we never seen that kind of stuff before, and it's like on the verge of happening. Like, you can see her marriage is falling apart, like in this. That's very clear, and they're trying to make that clear. So I'm just really curious of where they'll take that story. But yeah, no, it is a very dark, you know, adult show, and it's very crazy because it's Star Wars. We never thought we would get something like that, at least not this soon. But it's, you know, it's here, it's happening. Not everyone's happy about it, but honestly, I think it's something that Star Wars needed, because it can't be all, you know, Baby Yoda and lightsabers all the time. Like, it has to be something that's gonna make us all.
In comparison of what I would say is kind of like, no one took superhero movies seriously until Batman came out.
Yeah.
In a serious take of this, I would say Batman being the original is going to be like Rogue One with a serious take on Star Wars. And then I would say that this is like a Christopher Nolan serious take for Star Wars. And I'm really enjoying it of how they're taking their time and pushing, like, this is a serious series. I'm just hoping that it pays off. But if we want to get into the full breakdown, the episode does begin on the character from when he meets his mom. They're continuing inside. You're seeing how whipped he actually is of a character. His parents,
mama's boy. Yeah.
Like, you've already put all this like shame on us, basically. You need to get a job. We're gonna have to call in a favor. And I'm wondering if he's related to someone that we might know in the future.
Well, so in Legends and everything, and I think it is canon, Grand Marf, so Tarkin actually does have a son. We like never really see like his son except, you know, one time in the book, and then like in the book, and Vader kills him. I don't know if that's canon or not anymore, but I could definitely, like, you know, see him being related to a Imperial officer in some way. And then if that's the case,
it's like a favor from your uncle, I believe that's who she was talking about.
Okay.
Like, yeah, you need some new prospects. And I was like, I wonder if they're alluding to that he's related to someone serious. I wouldn't, like, imagine if it was Krennic. Like, I wouldn't, like, that would be pretty funny.
That would be kind of wild to me. I mean, I could see that happening, but, like, I mean, I could see it also being, like
it's someone's going to get him a job in the Empire.
I just don't think he's going to like it in the Empire. And then he'll be like, all right, I'm joining the Rebellion. Like, I'm tired of this.
Like we'll see an Erso in this?
I could see Galen. Probably not Jin. I could definitely see Galen. I could see Jin being, you know, I could see her being referenced by Saw in some way, but I don't think, you know, she would make a cameo. But I could definitely see Galen Erso making a cameo. I could see Krennic making a cameo. I think all those big Rogue One characters will play a bigger part in season 2 of Andor, because that leads directly into the events of Rogue One. And I'm really excited just to watch all shows all the way through and then lead into the events of Rogue One. I think that's going to be really cool.
And then the next scene that we get is back at the camp. And I forget what the character's name is, but he has his shirt off and he has all of his tattoos exposed.
Yeah.
What? You're like...
No, I just found his character, like, I don't know. He's all about himself and he tries to claim that, like, you know, I'm here for the team, but he's really... I think it's jealousy, and I think it's like, you know, him thinking, you know, I'm better than you. The team doesn't need you. They have me. Why are you here? Like that's the type of vibe that he's bringing.
I'm going to say, I think it's because he doesn't trust him at all, which it's morally pushed in the next, like in a couple scenes later on. But he's like, hey, I saw, like, he's talking to Cassian and he's like, hey, I saw that your eyes went right to my tattoos. Like, you know what this is. None of them know. None of them know, like, where I'm from. None of them know that the pain I've been through, but I know that you do. And I was like, so these are some secrets that they both share. And he's pointing out all of his tattoos. And Cassian's like, so what do you want? Just revenge against the Empire from what they did to you? And, yeah, I thought that was really cool seeing all of his interesting tattoos. But yeah, he's definitely the one of the group who does not trust any outsider into the group. So I was like, very interesting. I like more of this outside world building from that scene. That was really cool.
Yeah.
So what did you think? Just like, you just don't like his character right now?
Well, I mean, it's honestly, it was just the vibe that he gave off, where it was just like, I don't trust you because I don't understand, you know, of why you're here. And then when he eventually finds out, you know, of like why he's here and everything, like he's I think he's upset, but then also he's very surprised with his honesty. And then he's like, okay, I'll come clean. And like, and he, you know, gives him the other reason why. So it's just like, I don't know. I mean, I feel like I'm not going to be really sad if he goes, but there's other characters in there where I'm just like, oh, okay.
And then the next scene is Mon Mothma. They're talking about how the party went, and that, but she's having a conversation with her daughter and her husband, and it is not going well. She cannot control her daughter at all, and her husband is not helping her at all to control her daughter. And I was like, wow, this is...
Yeah.
It's family drama, but it's so interesting to see Mon Mothma be, she's so vulnerable. She's putting that so much out there for this rebellion. And her marriage is not going swimmingly at all. And I'm like, wow, it's so interesting to see such a giant player in the rebellion be reduced down to, just being so vulnerable, like not only just towards her own life, but just, yeah, everything. It's very funny and interesting to see.
I wouldn't be surprised if we ended up seeing Bail Organa. Like, I could see him coming. I mean, of
being that extra person that they were talking about last episode joining the circle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because some people know this, some people don't. But the actress playing her, her first time wasn't, you know, playing that deleted scene in Rogue One. It's like she like played that character in the deleted scene from Revenge of the Sith, and then she played her again in Rogue One, and then in Rebels, and now again. It's just funny because of it was like it was a deleted scene. Mm-hmm. It never made it to you know on the big screen. But you know, some people, like, I'm not sure if you watched it yet. I watched it like at least like twice a year, but it's the 4-hour cut of Revenge of the Sith. Mm-hmm. And they put in all of like the big deleted scenes and they remaster it to make it look like, oh, it's so good. But yeah. So yeah, no, it was really interesting.
Scene is canon?
What?
Do we know if that deleted scene is canon or is it not?
I'm going to say what they're telling us is true from a certain point of view, because
it
not
happened,
all,
but it may not have happened that exact way, that kind of thing.
Because if you look at that deleted scene from Empire Strikes Back of where C-3PO is running, you know, past that door, he runs back and he takes the warning sign off, and then the stormtroopers come up, and then the wampas eat them or whatever. It's actually canon that there are wampas in there, and that warning sign is for the wampas because because there was a short that was made. It's called Forces of Destiny, and it shows Chewie, Leia, and R2, and they actually trapped the Wampas in there, and then at the end they end up putting that sign on the door, and it's like, that's canon. There are Wampas in there. That scene happened. So I could definitely them seeing, you know, seeing them being like, hey, that scene with her is canon. Because,
okay,
you know, she came from that deleted scene. There's nowhere else in the movie, you know, where she shows up. So,
And then our next scene is back at the camp, and it's everyone's favorite character, the guy from Black Mirror. And he's asking Cassian what his view is of his spiritual view. It's very interesting seeing he's like a spiritual character on the effects of what this rebellion is and what the Empire is to someone. See, he's the representation of the pure emotional view of a rebellion.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, like his comments about how we biologically can't handle atrocities to the point where we will ignore them, where he says like one atrocity everyone would have completely dropped the Empire, but if you have 40 atrocities, then we just can't handle it and you'll just go by it without even caring. And I think that's a really cool way of thinking.
That that line also reminded me of Bill Burr's character in Mandalorian, where in season two they are in the tank, and then he's like talking about, you know, it doesn't matter whose side you're on, either way you are, you know, it doesn't matter whose side you're on, either way there's one side that is still trying to control the galaxy, like it's just the way it is, and people, you know, try and look at that in a black and white perspective when in reality it's, you know,
it's gray. Yeah,
yeah, it's a gray area because of the Rebel Alliance doesn't like how the Empire, you know, how they run things, and the Empire doesn't like how the Rebels run things, and either way they are trying to be power hungry and move their way up and be like, boom, now I'm in charge. And it's because everyone is, you know, trying to move up and, you know, not be, you know, controlled by someone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the way it is.
And then on our next scene, Cassian gets called into the planning room of what they're going to do with the actual shipment, the train system. And they're asking him like, hey, do you know how to do you know how the train system attaches to the rail so that, and they keep asking him the same question. He's like, wait a minute, you have no idea how to get this thing off the rail, do you? And they kind of like try and coerce him, like saying like, hey, you know, like, you know, you have a job to do. We're going to do a job. We need to know if you know how to do this. He's like, you actually have no idea how you're going to get it off. And I was like, that's pretty interesting. And it's funny because it's like a callback to Scarif Base and how their plan is like, we're just going to keep on going no matter what until we figure it out. Like,
yeah,
or we're dead. And I was like, interesting. And then he's like, you know what? I know how to drive this. I can get it off. I'm going to be the one who's driving. And they're like, no, you can't do that. And like, we already have a driver. And he's like, no. If it's my ass on the line, which is what he said, that's his quote.
Yeah.
I am going to, I'm going to drive it. And I was like, ooh, interesting. Which we don't know if it's a lie or not. It could be a lie.
I mean, I don't know. I think because we are getting more character development in this episode, it was just like, I think Cassian will care a little bit about some people, but it is very interesting to me to see Cassian be in this situation of where, you know, he's normally just doing this for himself, and then, you know, him kind of confessing up and being like, yo, listen, I'm just here for the money. that's why I'm here. Deal with it as you will. And it's, and I think he told them because he's like, you know, in a way he felt bad, but also I think he was trying to get their perspective on, you know, on why they're there. And then that kind of, you know, breaks down to people, you know, talking to him more. And I think he's trying not to get attached because I think he knows that they're kind of doomed at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. And then in the we see Gorn, which is the guy who's with the Empire, their man on the inside. He goes back to start talking about the protecting the shipment with the other officers, and then we get another scene with them training to look like they're soldiers in the Empire. And during that scene, they're marching with their weapons to look like they're a part of it. And then Cassian points out that, hey, you do realize that you should probably switch because you look like you don't use your right hand, you use your left hand. Like, it's not what you're comfortable with. So it's pretty interesting seeing the leader be like, oh, okay. You're very focused on the team, and to Cassian, like, he's like, you pointed that out very quickly. So it's cool seeing how in detail Cassian is in trying to save himself in this whole situation. Yeah, because he asks him, you have to switch, and then the leader's like, okay, yeah, okay, we're going to switch up in different formation because of him using his left hand. I was like, that's cool.
Yeah, no. Now, from the trailers, we know he's wearing, they're wearing Mud Trooper uniforms, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw them marching, I was like, oh, like Stormtroopers. But then I was like, wait a minute. No, they are definitely not going to be wearing Stormtroopers because there actually wasn't really any Stormtroopers on base. So as far as we've seen, it's mainly, you know, officers and Mud Troopers. Mm-hmm. There was also an actor in there who is British, and he was on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and stuff like that. And I've noticed, like, if you didn't know that the show was being made in London, you could definitely tell. Because there are a lot of, like, those, like, British based actors.
High name British actors. Yeah. Yeah. And there are a lot of them are with the Empire, which is great to see again. Great to hear. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
The next scene is when they hear a TIE fighter coming by, and they end up all like covering up their blasters, and the TIE fighter comes swinging by and basically just to terrorize them, and it flies super low, kicking up all that water. I was like, wow, it's really cool how we've seen TIE fighters hundreds of times before, but yet in this, they do make them like a terrifying threat.
Do you think that the pilot spotted them, and then we find out later, like, that Gorn is just like, oh yeah, like I haven't seen any reports or anything, and then the TIE fighter, you know,
I don't think so, because Their little place or whatever is a farm. The only thing that they were trying to hide was just the blasters, not themselves.
Yeah. Okay.
Because, yeah, they still got all the sheep out there. That's completely fine because they know that there's farmers, because they were talking about how many they basically wiped out and basically drove from the land. So, but they do know that there are still some farmers. There are not many, but there is still some.
So something I'm hoping that we get in season two, and I think it won't happen until we get Ahsoka, but because in Ahsoka, we know that we'll probably see Thrawn in there. And I'm like, if we get Thrawn in season two of Andor, that would be great, because right now it's the race between Thrawn and Krennic of getting their two top secret projects done for first, right? So mm-hmm. Krennic is trying to get his Death Star finished, and then Thrawn is trying to get his TIE TIE interceptor, TIE defender. It's the TIE fighter that like has like the three like here I'm playing it. Here's the example. Cool. All right, so you like have the TIE fighter. It's got two right here, and it's got one on top, and it's got shields, and it's like the first TIE fighter to ever have shields. And they actually explore that in Star Wars Rebels, and that time period is happening like around the events of Andor. So it's like, mm-hmm. I could definitely see like, you know, them coming to a meeting because they actually pull Thrawn to Coruscant because Thrawn has to try and get his project to be the main priority over the Death Star. So I would love to see Thrawn in this. I know we're kind of, you know, tracking, but you were talking about the TIE fighter. I was like, you know what? It would be really interesting to see Thrawn show up.
So. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, for sure. And then I think the next scene that we get is we cut back to that investigative Imperial girl who is told like, hey, like I want you to drop all this. Like, there's no need to investigate any further. Just get back to your weekly quotas. That's what I want you to do. And so she's still investigating it. She's doing it on her own time now instead of listening. So they get that interesting quote where they bring up all these different places where it's like Jakku to Kessel, all these different incidences, never hitting the same place over and over again. They're always different places that the rebels have been hitting. So she's starting to catch on to it, but she can't prove it at the moment, which is very right. Interesting.
I can't. I'm gonna have to rewatch it again. There was one planet that they were at. Oh yeah, the planet Fondor, and they talked about that, and I was like, Star Wars Battlefront 2, nice, because the
Kessel Fondor.
Yep.
Yeah, Kessel, Fondor, and Jakku. That's what they're talking about.
And I love how they keep talking, like kind of bringing stuff up from the Star Wars Battlefront 2 campaign, because the last time they did it was season 2 of Mando, where they talked about Operation Cinder. And I was really blown away when they did talk about Operation Cinder. Did you play the campaign at all or no?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, so when they like talked about Operation Cinder and that, I was blown away. And then when they talked about Fondor, I was like, oh, no way. I was just playing the campaign the other day. That's so cool.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So I love how they're making different preferences towards that. Now I'm hoping at some point that we actually get a Jedi Fallen Order reference. I think that's the next step that they need to go.
Please.
Like as much as I love the Star Killer one that we got last week,
mm-hmm.
like Cal Kestis is canon. That story is canon. And that happens during that 20-year, like, you know, gap from New Hope to, from Revenge of the Sith to New Hope. So I would love to see some type of reference from Jedi Fallen Order to that. And maybe in the events of Jedi Fall and Jedi Survivor, mm-hmm. we'll see, you know, maybe somehow that kind of ties in into the events that are closer to Andor. We don't know exactly where in the timeline it's happening, but most likely it's going to be further in the future of that gap from Revenge of the Sith to New Hope.
Oh, yeah. And then the next scene that we get is back to the camp. They're on their way. They packed all their things and they're ready to start heading out. So that's where they're about to start their whole mission. And then after that, we get cut back to the guy and his mom. And she's still just berating him about different things. We get the Cocoa Puffs and green milk or blue milk, which I was laughing about. And I was like, yeah, I can't wait for that to be a cereal.
Yep. Yep. Oh, man. I know. Now, it was really funny because for me, we've seen a decent amount of the lower levels of Coruscant and the way that they act and everything. And I think the way that his mom is acting is like she's not in the higher up levels of Coruscant, but she's trying to act like she is. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very, really, really interesting.
Honestly, that's why I think that she is related to someone very important.
Right. Yeah. And I honestly would love just a show that just took place in Coruscant. I think that would just be
remarkable. Pretty cool.
And I guess the old game 1313 that got canceled.
I was literally gonna
turn that into a show. Because of that game was really interesting of what we've seen. I mean, and of just turning that into where it's just dealing with everything in the underworld and stuff like that. That's live action.
I think that would be like have you seen Dread?
Yes.
I feel like it would be like that.
Yeah.
Like a thing to get from the bottom all the way to the top. You would go through like it'd be like a reverse of the layers of hell.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's going up, and I think that'd be really, really cool.
Yeah.
The next scene is back to them traveling, and Cassian's asking about Gorn and what the reason, how they got an Imperial officer to start joining them. And she says, well, you know, you ask a lot of questions, but he fell in love with a girl here, and they lost the girl, and then he lost his taste for the Empire. And I was like, very interesting.
Character development.
And then it cuts to Gorn again, and they're loading all that shipment of the quota onto the train system. And as he's telling his subordinates or underlings, he's explaining like, hey, you're going to be down here watching the shipment tonight for tomorrow night, and I need you all eyes on this the whole time. And they're new, and they're like, hey, you know, tomorrow is the night where they have all the stars out, and they're all exploding in the sky. Like, we were really hoping to like watch it, you know, because it only comes around so many times a year. It's all going to be tomorrow. And he's like, well, I guess if you guys really want to see it, you guys can go see it. But when you come back down here, I need this place spick and span and all this kind of stuff. So they're really appreciative of that. And they're like, okay, great. And then they have no idea that basically they're getting the rug pulled out from underneath them. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was really cool. And he just turns around and he smiles.
He's like, nice. As the
plans coming together.
Yeah. Now, something I was just thinking about. Do we know where they're trying to take the shipment to? Like, I mean, of where the heist will lead to? Because after they steal the quota, like, where is their destination? Because it can't be back to Coruscant, like to Luthen. It's going somewhere. Do you think it is to Sog?
I don't think we're sure just yet of where it's going. We just know that they're stealing it, which... it's going to be nuts, because I think there'll be like a plot point there, because imagine if the plot point was never to steal the money, it was just to destroy the money.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Like, yeah, and instead they're like, well, okay, we've got everything. They're like, the reason that we were never we asked you if you knew how to fly it wasn't the fact of like, if we could detach it, it was actually just in the fact that we needed you along the way. But yeah, you're disposable, or like, as they said, they're like, he's expendable.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't doubt that in the end, they're like, they just either fail and the same kind of train thing happens with the coaxium in Solo or something interesting like that.
So you are saying that, you know, that there's a chance that they might pull a Joker from the Dark Knight of where he's like... I'm only burning my half, and then he like throws like the.
because I mean, it's still gonna really hurt the Empire.
Yeah,
but I don't know if this is gonna fund like the rebels in the future, or because I mean, like, you would have put millions of trackers all over that thing and all this kind of other stuff. So I don't know. I think there's something more to it.
Okay, interesting.
And then it cuts back to they finally find a spot to their travel up the mountains, and they finally find a spot to eat. And as they're all sitting down and relaxing, The character with the tattoos goes up on Cassian, sneaks up behind him, and sticks a knife to his neck.
Ugh.
Because yeah, he's easily the doesn't trust him at all. And then rips off his blue Kyber crystal necklace and then shows it to the group.
I knew it. And I was like, all right, dude.
He's like, I know you're lying. All this stuff. He's untrustworthy this whole time. The Sky Kyber's worth 30,000 credits. You've been hiding it this whole time.
I just love like how that's where his mind goes when like mine would be like, it's just an heirloom. Like, you know, it's something important to him. And instead of being like,
well, because
this is worth 30,000.
What he's been told is that he's on the mission to be a rebel as well. Like they're all there for the reason of like independence. It's not for money. Whereas as soon as he saw that Kyber crystal, he's like, dude, that's more than just an heirloom, man. That thing's worth a lot of money. Like if you were just someone who was on this trip wanting the same views, you probably would have helped us by now with that kind of money, like helped us more. So what are you actually here for? Because this thing's worth a decent amount of money. Cause I don't think they would have ever had that anywhere else.
Yeah.
And because there's no trust in this, like, there's no trust between this group, that's the fracturing part of it, which is pretty interesting to me, because I think they're trying to say, like, hey, this rebellion needs to be built off trust and hope. Whereas if you're not trustworthy, they keep on fighting in between each other. And then Cassian ends up just telling the truth. He's just like, hey, I'm getting paid for this.
Right.
And then that's when he actually stands down and is like, okay, yeah, fine. As long as you're getting paid for it, I guess that does make sense. It's finally good you started telling the truth to us. And I was like, interesting.
I mean, that honestly was funny too, because at that point, I think it was like, you know what? I got nothing to lose. I'll just tell you. And he was like, yeah, I'm getting paid. So what? Deal with it. I was like, all right, okay. I don't think we've really seen his real reason to join the Rebel Alliance yet. And I think hopefully in more flashbacks that we'll get that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love Cassian as a character, but as of right now in the show, you know,
he hasn't become the Cassian that we know yet.
Yeah. Yeah. There is like not a real reason why he's fighting besides the pay right now. Mm-hmm. And we haven't seen anything that indicates him being like, oh, I really, really hate the Empire because of this. It's right now, it's just because Cassian just needs money and he doesn't like the Empire. Like, that's really like the perspective that I'm getting. So I'm really curious of what really made him be like, all right, I want nothing to do with the Empire. Because if we saw him as a kid, that had nothing to do with the Empire. That had to do with the separatists and like that. And we haven't seen the fall of the Republic yet. We know there's clones at some point, but we don't know when. And something that I'm hoping is that the first six episodes of the show is just like one plot, and then the next six episodes are like another plot. So I just don't want the hype to continue for all 12 episodes.
Yeah,
I want it to end in this next episode, and then and episode seven is when it begins the next story.
Well, and we definitely did see on the IMDb page that we have only so many episodes for some characters in our group. So
I know that, but at the same time, anyone can add, you know, on that page. But I'm very hopeful because I think it would be great if for both seasons, if it was the first six episodes is part one, the next six episodes are part two.
Act two.
Yeah. And that honestly would make sense where you kind of get that in the Clone Wars TV show of where you have these arcs of where it goes from episode one to three, and then it changes the story.
Exactly, on to the next one. That's what I was saying with the three episode act thing. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So it's 12.
Yep.
So
yep.
I wouldn't doubt that our next it's been an incline up, and people were expecting another like a finish, but we didn't get a finish. Now it's going to be the next episode. That's why I would almost guarantee that the next episode is when we get the heist.
Yeah.
And then our next scene is with Mon Mothma in the car with her husband.
Yep.
So yeah, you can just see that her husband is just done with this whole like politic game. He just enjoys being like rich, I guess. He just, yeah. It's interesting just seeing her just hating life, but having her compassion is not in her relationship with her family anymore, and you see that it's all going to go towards the rebellion in the future. So what do you think of that scene?
So I'm just trying to make a I'm trying to guess of what her future, you know, because we know that she, you know, leaves the Senate and everything, and then mm-hmm. she becomes, you know, a huge part of the Rebel Alliance. But we really don't know like what the pinpoint of where it was in Rebels, where she was like, you know, I'm speaking out like freely against the Empire or whatever. And maybe it was because of like the Emperor did something to her family. And then she was like, all right, enough is enough. Like my family is dead because of the Empire and stuff. And then she fully like breaks, you know, the shackles from where she was, you know, staying with the Empire. And I think she was just like, all right, I'm done with this. And then she ends up like doing her different speeches on the Helena and Rebels. And then the Phoenix Squadron meets her and stuff like that. And I think this will lead into that. Because I think, you know, they are trying to build up her family and everything to where something will happen to them. And it will be because of the Empire. And it might be because of, you know, maybe of what she did. Or maybe they kind of secretly find out, like, that she's been, you know, secretly doing stuff with the Rebels. Mm-hmm. And then the Empire's like, you are paying the price by us killing your family, or just doing something that will, like, you know, make her be like, all right, enough is enough.
Do you think that they would have a kind of scene like I think there was like tales of back in World War II of how people would have their own families rat out to the Nazi parties about how they would rat out their own family.
I can see that happening too.
Wouldn't it be interesting if her husband or either her daughter rat them out to the Empire? Like I've suspected something for so long, and she basically loses her family that way, of her family just absolutely just, you know, going.
I can see that happening.
Yeah,
in my head, that's
a comparison that I think they would do. Yeah. Yikes. Is that, could you see that happening? Like, that's,
yeah. And again, that's a dark path, but it's something that I could definitely see the show like going in that direction. I could definitely see them maybe ending the season on that note of where she comes home and there's like a whole like squadron of stormtroopers of being like, we know, I mean, there's been these rumors, you have to come in.
Who told you all of this? And then they're both like, we did.
Yeah. Oh man. That would be wild. But that would be like a great like plot twist. I think that would be really interesting. And I think what's making the show great right now is that we are going down a very dark path that is supposed to lead into the light side of the rebellion. Like, of the rebellion that we see right now in Andor eventually goes into the rebellion that we see in A New Hope. And right now it's a very, very dark, like, it's the darker side of the rebellion. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, you know, kind of backtracking to what we were talking about earlier, where it's not black and white. Like, it's a very gray area. And I think we're definitely going to see that more in the upcoming episodes of, you know, not all good decisions are based off of good. I think there are some good decisions that will come off, you know, of some bad things happening. And I think the worst is yet to come. I think they will go through a lot of turmoil and frustrations and sacrifice, because, you know, again, this is the same guy that wrote Rogue One. And like you said, there's a chance that, you know, that the team is not going to make it because they're listed only for 3 episodes. So,
So then the next scene is them finally making it to that dam base. They get there and they're signaling Gorn, and then the character that threatened Cassian comes up and he's like, hey, and starts explaining his story about how his brother was basically killed by the Empire.
Yeah.
He was a farmer, used to farm like trees, and then the Empire basically poisoned the water and destroyed the trees, and he had nothing. So he actually went off and filled his pockets with stones and jumped off into the water. And I was like, ooh, that's a pretty cool statement. And he explains all that to Cassian. He's like, that's why I've always hated the Empire. And he's like, that's as close of an apology as you're going to get. And I was like, interesting. And then our next scene cuts to Skarsgård's character in his antiquities den. And basically, he's on a comm radio trying to hear word from his team, seeing like if they said anything, if anything news happened. And he's just sitting there just being worried because he's helpless. He can't do anything right now until his team's been able to do something.
Yeah.
So
and then episode ends there, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And then the episode ends right there.
And ending the episode, you know, we actually did get a couple of more Easter eggs, but not from Star Wars. There were a couple of ones, but if you look in the right corner, like in the top right corner, those are the Sakaar stones from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Yeah. The stones are there. It's right next to the Sith Holocron and the Jedi Holocron. Yeah.
Which, those are really big.
They're gigantic.
Yeah. and I think the first time that we saw giant holocrons like that were in Solo, and I've never actually seen anyone hold it. I've never seen that. I'm really curious of what knowledge is in those, because those are big, like those are giant holocrons. So I'm really curious. But yeah, on a scale from 1 to 10, what do you think of the episode?
Ooh, on a scale of 1 to 10. It's hard. I love character drama, and I love where they're just building it and building this universe. I don't want to put on a scale, but it is maybe like an eight for me, 8 or 9. But I would assume that it would go up once we get our payoff next episode. I love the world building through these characters' backstories. I love that. And I love the characters in this show so far. Where would you put it for yourself?
I would probably put it in a 7. I'm enjoying the show. I understand why it's going at the pace that it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to be really disappointed if the next episode is not the heist. Because if they're sitting up on the hill talking about their feelings and everything again, I'm going to be like, all right, listen. There is a time and a place to do this. And you just did that in the last episode. And now you're just extending that like story to these characters where most likely all of them will not make it except Cassian. So let's get on with the heist. I really would like to see what we saw in the trailers of where the stakes are high. Mm-hmm. And right now it's just, you know, they're talking about it. It's to me, it's just like they are talking about it. They're getting ready for it. It's been, you know, a lot going on just to get to this point.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to be disappointed if they're just up on a hill at night and they're just looking up at the stars, and then they're just talking about how bad the Empire is. I would be like, okay, as great as this is, let's get down to business.
Here's the one thing for me is that I would rather have it be long, drawn out with characters okay. that are developed and explained to me for the character drama so that I care about the characters than having another Kenobi where it's six episodes and I don't oh, feel yeah. that connection.
Right. And I think that's why the show is doing great on that part. Mm-hmm. But the thing with Kenobi was that was all one giant like connect story. When you said the like three episodes are like one arc, these next three episodes are one arc,
but I think we all said that. I think that Kenobi could have used extra episodes to build yep. character development. I think that's one of its biggest criticisms is that we would have loved yeah. some extra episodes to push that character development. And I'm like, I would much rather have a 12 episode series where they take their time rather than rush it. Because yeah. if the payoff is good in the end, the payoff is good in the end. But if you mess up, no one's going to forgive that. No. So
I still really enjoyed Kenobi. I loved seeing, and to be honest, I think it was because of, you know, that throwback of having the original actors come back and play those characters. And I think that's why I was in love with it. The like story was great, but I was mainly there to see those two on screen together again, of seeing Obi-Wan and Anakin on screen, you know, and having that chemistry and getting new scenes, because it's something like, for me, it was like, I never thought I would ever see those two on screen ever again like that. And we got them, you know, having a flashback, and then we got them as Ben Kenobi and then Vader. And it was very sentimental to the fans. And there was a lot of fan service there. And then if you watch, you know, The Mandalorian and Book of Boba Fett, there's a lot of fan service in there too. That is, you know, connecting the dots like directly to the originals and the prequels and the sequels. And then you have Andor, where the main thing that they're trying to stay connected to is Rogue One, like not the prequels, not the original trilogy, but directly to Rogue One. And that's the direction I think. I mean, and in a way, I think maybe they're like, all right, this like show is, you know, staying in the Rogue One universe, not the Star Wars universe, is staying in the Rogue One universe. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why it's not feeling directly like Star Wars. I think it's feeling more like Rogue One because they're trying to, you know, have that same vibe of it.
Yeah. So for our next episode, we're probably going to get the heist. We're going to be very extremely happy with that. Is there anything else that you expect to happen in that next episode?
I think they're just building up these characters so that they die, but you know, it's fine. It'll be a
far more emotional impact.
If yes.
You know the characters, you yep. love the characters because you've heard their stories, and then they die in emotional ways. Because if someone gets shot and I don't know them, like a stormtrooper, I don't really care. But if I know the stormtrooper's backstory, like it's Finn, and we understand his backstory, and he gets shot and he dies, then I'm like, wow, I actually have an emotional connection, and now I'm disappointed or sad.
Right. Well, then here's my question. Do you want the heist to happen the next episode, or do you want another episode where it's
No. I want the heist to happen next episode.
Yeah, okay, good.
Guaranteed. there's no part of me that's like, it's not, now is not the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just unfortunate that we live in the world of everything has to be so. We live in the world of TikTok where everything has to be super fast, and you only get so much attention span, where that's the biggest criticism of the show is just like, come on, do something. It's like, just give it time, because then it has emotional weight. Because when these payoffs happen, yeah. I think they'll be some of the best payoffs that have happened in Star Wars in a long time, because they took their time with
it. And it's not that I don't want it to be fast paced. It's just like, I don't know how much can be drawn out more, because for some reason, if the next episode was, you know, them just sitting up there, you know, and them talking more about of how the Empire has affected their lives. So I'm like, we just got this in the last episode, but you're telling different stories. Like, I just don't, I don't know.
I don't think it's going to happen.
So if heist needs to happen the next episode, I want to see them leaving the base. I would love to see that trailer of where Cassian is getting chased by TIE fighters, and then you see like the flaming stars coming on through. That's going to look epic, bro. I'm so excited for that, because that was my favorite part of the trailer. And then there's another shot of the trailer with Luthen and his ship, and TIE fighters are like chasing him. And then he does like the laser thing. And I'm like, I want to see that. I want to see that so bad. And I'm really curious of what the next episodes will be, because after the heist, you know, we really don't know exactly what's going on. So I'm really, really curious.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah. But yeah, and then you have the Tales of the Jedi, which is super, super exciting. Coming out on October 26th, all of the episodes are dropping as well. It is 6 episodes. It's going to have, these character developments for Ahsoka and for Count Dooku, Qui-Gon Jinn. Now, something that I'm very excited for the series, especially, I think it might be the last episode of like the Ahsoka arc. And it's going to be her fighting off this Sith Inquisitor.
Yeah.
But also...
Bird mask, man.
Yeah. But also, I think the beginning of it is going to be Ahsoka being at Padme's funeral on Naboo.
Ooh, cool.
And that's tying like directly into the movie. So I'm very excited to see that. And then to see, you know, Qui-Gon and Count Dooku, like different sides of these characters, has me very, very excited. And I just love all the Star Wars that we're getting. I love this time because ever since 2015, to me, it was the fall and the winter going in is, you know, it's Star Wars. It's that time for, you know, Star Wars, because when Force Awakens came out, it really didn't hit me that Star Wars was back until I came into work. Because at the time I was working at a movie theater, so I saw the movie a couple of days before and I was like, all right, great, cool. And I walk in and maybe it's like 2 hours before the actual like first like screening, and there's a line just going out the door that's going all the way down the street. I'm like, oh my God. And I'm just, you know, making popcorn and just hearing like the cheers and the screams and everything in the theater. And I was like, it's back. And then they just kept doing that almost every winter. And it just made me so happy. So I'm really glad that we are kind of back into that Star Wars, into the Star Wars season. And then next year you've got so many projects coming out. And you know, you've got Mandalorian season 3, you've got Skeleton Crew, you've got Ahsoka, you've got Jedi Survivor, you have the Bad Batch, and then you've, you know, not really, you know, Star Wars, but then you got Indiana Jones. So it's like there's a lot happening next year as well, and then the year after that in 2024 is when we're getting season 2 of Andor. So Star Wars isn't going like away anytime soon. So I'm super, super pumped for the future of Star Wars and Tales of the Jedi. Honestly, I think the show can be phenomenal. I think if this goes great, they could just keep doing like future seasons of where they just, you know, talk about, you know, Obi-Wan and you know, young Obi-Wan with like Qui-Gon and he's with Satine and they're on the run. And then you could also do Mace Windu, and then Samuel L. Jackson can come back because we all know he's been wanting to come back. So it's just like there's ways to make this show like bring more excitement to the prequels and more character development for these characters. Because now, after I guarantee, after we watch the arc with Count Dooku, we won't be able to look at Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith or the Clone Wars show ever the same again. Because we'll finally have, you know, a real reason why he's acting the way that he is.
I'm super excited for that to be explained or showed more.
Yeah. I'm pumped, and I love that we're, you know, getting more details of characters like this. And it's something we talked about on Sunday's podcast. I don't think they'll do that for Yoda. I think they'll stay away from that. I mean, as much as I would love that of seeing of maybe when Yoda first became a Jedi, and then after that, you know, maybe we see him during the High Republic, and then we see him, you know, maybe, you know, being old man Yoda all the way, you know, from that gap from Revenge of the Sith to A New Hope, of seeing, you know, that versions like those kind of versions of Yoda would be really cool to see. But I don't want them to, you know, touch the origin of where he's from or anything.
So you would be okay with what they're doing with the High Republic? Like if they showed him?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, of just showing, you know, a different version of him, like a younger version of him, that's fine. But I don't want them to be like, you know, doing what
this is the planet he's from.
Right. Right. Cause I don't want them to do what they're doing with Ahsoka of where like, oh, look, this is baby Ahsoka. This is Ahsoka's mom. Like, I don't want them to do that. I don't want them to be like, okay, this is, fair. Yeah. Like, I want that to remain a mystery, because that's what makes the character so great. And we know sometimes when the mystery is taken away from the character and you get the origin, it's not, you know, as much as we, you know, love and as we did before. Because what made, you know, Vader and Boba Fett and Yoda, all these characters so great, is like we didn't know their origins and it was a mystery. And the fact that, you know, we got Boba Fett and his first, you know, appearance was in a cartoon on the holiday special, and he's riding this giant dinosaur with his rifle. It was just like, oh my gosh, cool. And then, you know, like a couple of years later, we end up seeing him in a movie, and it's like, whoa, and we know nothing about him. And then you got, you know, you got Darth Vader, and we get his whole backstory in the prequels, which I think was done well. But as I think for Boba Fett, it was kind of like a mix. Because I just got done rewatching the Book of Boba Fett, and after he got his ass handed to him by Black Chrysanthemum, and he walks down wearing a bathrobe, I was like, "Ugh, like come on." So, yeah, yep. Are you okay?
Yeah. I was looking at something over here. Yeah, I don't know. For me, when it comes to like, you have these golden moments of Star Wars where just don't touch it. Like, just let it be what it is. Unfortunately, Star Wars is that double-edged sword where everyone wants everything explained. However, sometimes the mystery is just far better than that. Like, the biggest complaint that people have, that I hear, that people are still like, why did you explain that, is saying midichlorians. And explaining midichlorians as like a scientific view in the prequels. And I'm like, for me, I didn't really, like, I still look back to that and I go like, yeah, that really didn't need to be explained. Like, I liked it being, but like the Force just being a mystical and not knowing about it. And some people like knowing about it. Some people don't. I mean, if they actually do try and explain Yoda's origin, I definitely don't want it from a planet's perspective. I just kind of want him like a younger version. Like, I would love to see him as a Padawan.
Yeah.
Love to see him in his age of the High Republic. Cause I would love to see the High Republic in live action.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we're going to see the end of it in the show Acolyte. I think that's going to be addressed. Because that show takes place during the end of the age of the High Republic, I think is what they talked about. Because I think that show is going to lead into like, you know, of Darth Plagueis and everything. And I think that's what they're trying to do with it. At least that's what everyone's hoping they will do with it. Mm-hmm. And that's really exciting because that's an era that's never been really touched. And it's going to be dealing with something in Star Wars that's like, it's not stormtroopers. It's not clone troopers. It's its own thing. And it's going to be very interesting to see that come to light and them. I'm really curious on how that show's going to do. And I think Andor is a great kind of starter point for new projects in Star Wars, because I think Acolyte's going to have the same type of tone of Andor, but I think it's always going to be more, you know, it's going to be more mystical. It's going to be more mysterious, and hopefully it's more dark. Like,
yeah, for real. And
yeah,
there's, as I think that, that the theme of something that we really wanted was a horror series, a horror movie.
Yeah.
I still think that we could do a Grievous one just the same way that they did it before. Cause that is so cool to me, the way they did it in the Clone Wars. I would love to see that in live action.
Yeah. Yeah. His, he also has like a dark past too. Like he has a very, very,
that would be a cool origin story. I wouldn't, yeah. I wouldn't mind watching that.
My only thing is like, I don't think they would be able to do it live action. And the only reason why is because, Count Dooku plays a huge part in his origin, yeah, and the fact that Christopher Lee passed away. I mean, I think they could do it, but it's like it would be difficult to do. Yeah. Yeah. And then to kind of end today's episode, we wanted to tell everyone about the
Let's Go giveaway.
About the giveaway that has just ended for B2Emo. Honestly, not that many people sign up for this one, and it's really sad because he's a really cool character. And we haven't seen him in two episodes. And it's very, very tragic. But I will be announcing those winners on our Instagram in just a couple of hours here. But again, to end the podcast today, we just wanted to give a there were a lot of people that were affected by the hurricane in Florida, and we just wanted to send our thoughts and prayers to everyone that was affected by the flooding and everything. Josh, myself, Matt, Mason, and Brooke were all here for it, and we came out strong. I think Josh had, you know, super
no
bad
power, but we're good now. Yeah. I mean, I would have loved to be there last week on episode, but yeah.
Yep. So our thoughts are going out to everyone that was affected by the hurricane. But yeah, with that being said, thank you all so much for being fans of the podcast and following us. We're on Facebook. We have our own page, Star Stuff Group and Star Wars Stuff Podcast page. And please go support us on Patreon. We have wonderful stuff. We are recording a new episode of Sabacc Talk this Friday. Wah, wah. So we're super excited and pumped about that. We're on Instagram at Star Wars Stuff Podcast, Twitter at Stuff Podcast, TikTok, just search Star Wars Stuff Podcast. And guess what? Our Gmail is StarWarsStuffPodcast@gmail.com. And please go on Apple Podcasts, talk about how great David is. 5 stars. We love it. And we're also on Twitch, SWStuff77. Yay. Again, everyone, we would not be doing this if it wasn't for you. We love you all. We hope to get, you know, a train heist, some type of heist next week for the new episode. We're super pumped, and maybe some Max Rebo, but we'll see. Thank you so much for listening. May the Force be with you.
Always.